Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Beautiful song, amen, and beautifully done. If you have your Bibles, we're going to 1 Kings chapter number 18 this morning. 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to have to be quick. I told our motel lady, can you give us an extra hour to let us not have to pack up? And so she said, I'll give you to 12. So you're ready for about an eight-minute message this morning, amen? And beat everybody else to the restaurant, that's for sure. But thank you for allowing us to be here. Pastor Bowman, thank you for yesterday and allowing us to use your facilities and, again, to have the service here. And thank you, everyone, that helped with that wonderful luncheon after and the great time of fellowship. I know that that takes a lot of work and effort, and I just appreciate it so very, very much. There's no doubt about it that this was my dad's plan from the beginning, well, really since Mom passed away, that this is where the funeral would be and where he would be buried and so on. So, again, you never know when that's going to happen, but here it's happened. Time flies, doesn't it? And life just moves on. But we sure appreciate all your hospitality and allowing us to be here. And, again, for the wonderful service yesterday, we had a great time of fellowship. And thank you for allowing us to just do a little bit of memory stuff, I guess put it that way. And thinking back over the years and all, and the testimonies we heard yesterday from some of the men. But even my dad used to say this. He said, it's great to remember these things, but you got to just keep pressing on. Amen? Life doesn't stop. And one generation comes, and another generation fades away. And that's what life is all about. So we pick it up, and we keep plowing on for the future generations, our children, our grandchildren. And that's what life is all about. So thank you again. We've had a great weekend. We appreciate all your hospitality, your kindness. And, well, I'll tell you what, I was up here singing, and all these guys started coming across in their black suits. I thought, holy smokes, what have I done? Haven't you preached yet? I thought they were coming to take me away. But anyway, good funeral directing men right there, it looks like. Something along that line. But anyway, appreciate it. This, again, all the good times we had here and the wonderful memories, and I know still good times today and good times ahead. And I was sitting there during Sunday school hour and just somewhat listening to Brother Mike, thinking as well, and Barb Kirkwood, sorry about that, was sitting in front of me, and I focused on her through to Tyler there, And I remembered when we left here in 92, I think, 93, I think Barb was Tyler's Sunday school teacher, if I'm not mistaken. And they took a picture of him sitting out over there, just outside the entrance, and he was in his beautiful little red suit coat. Don't you love it when your kids look back and they say, why did you dress me like that? We have pictures of him in a little baseball uniform. He said, Dad, you made me look like a nerd. I said, well, hey, like father, like son, amen? Just let it continue. But sitting out there, I don't know how he was, but just in this little chair, and he had this little birthday cake on his lap and so on. And, you know, it just, where does time go? And here we are these many years later. He's still a nerd, and he's still, you know, whatever. But well, like I said, father, like son. But just good times, and we appreciate it. And a lot of you sitting here today say, I don't know anything you're talking about. Well, you just got to put up with it for a little bit, amen? But thank you again for everything. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Let's get to the Bible so I can get this done quickly this morning. 1 Kings number 18, let me read you one verse concerning the prophet Elijah. And I want to challenge you this morning for just a few minutes on the positive power of the preaching prophet. The positive power of the preaching prophet. It came to pass, 1 Kings 18, verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day. Let me just stop there and say there's nothing much more we can do about life, folks, than when God gives us every day. And I believe Elijah understood that principle. He couldn't do anything about the past. He didn't know whether he had a future. But he said, at least this day, let it be known. I want to encourage you, folks. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. I can't do anything about yesterday. I don't know whether I'll have tomorrow, but I can do something with today. We got to make every day count for the Lord that he gives us. And so he says to the people that are surrounding him, and we're going to get to this issue in a moment. He says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. What an incredible verse that we're going to come back to in just a few moments, but I want to give you a little background in this passage of Scripture concerning this positive power of this preaching prophet, the man named Elijah. We look back in chapter number 18. I'm going to ask you to turn back there, even maybe chapter 17 for a moment. And I want you to see that Elijah was a powerful man of God. I believe Elijah had a lot of principles in his life that we can use today in 2010 to make our Christian walk a success. But Elijah definitely walked with God, and he had a very positive power. I want you to give a couple illustrations of this morning. First of all, in verse number 17, we see the miracle of the feeding of a widow woman and her son. Elijah was told to go to this woman for a specific purpose, and he said to her in chapter 17 and verse 13, he said, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." I think about this man going into this home of this woman that God really had instructed him to do, and he says to this woman that is probably thinking she's near death's door, she doesn't have much food left, it's her and her son against the world, and he says, "I want you to go and make a cake, but give it to me first." Excuse me? Who do you think you are? Do you not understand that the situation I'm in with me and my son, we're down to our last meal and this is all that we have? And you're telling me that I got to go and make it and give it to you first? I know what you preachers are like. You eat. There probably isn't going to be much left over when you're done. I'm sure she thought a little bit in her mind the gall of this guy to come in and say, "My last meal and I've got to give it to you." But you know there's a principle there, folks, that says simply this: give God your first and your best and God will take care of the rest. And she learned that principle here, for it goes on to say in verse 14, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." There's a good feast. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." What an incredible miracle by this powerful prophet that had such a positive outlook. And he went to this woman, and here we see a miracle feeding of the widow woman and of Elijah himself and her son, and it continued on. He was demonstrating the power of God over the physical realm. But it didn't stop there. He went on a little further in chapter number 17, and we see a miracle of the raising of the dead. And in verse number 20 of chapter 17, he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou not brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Here we see again a great miracle by this powerful prophet, that he, through the power of God and being used of the Lord, showed the power of God over the eternal realm. I want to remind you today, folks, that not only is the Lord teaching us here that he can grant life to whom and how he wants and when he wants, but thank God he grants not only physical life, but eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So Elijah is such a powerful, positive preaching prophet, and here he does some incredible miracles, but it doesn't stop there. Not only does he show the power of God over the physical realm and really over the eternal realm, but he goes on in chapter now number 18, and starting in verse number 19, he shows the power over the spiritual realm. In chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Therefore send and gather to me all Israel, and come to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered them to the prophets together to Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then just follow him." Almost sounds like a New Testament Baptist preacher, doesn't he? How long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, if you're going to live for God, live for God. If you're going to live for the world, go live for the world. But make a choice. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you on God's side or on you on the world's side? That's what he was saying. Get with one crowd or get with the other crowd. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ said these lukewarm Christians, he said, to be honest with you, he said, I'd rather just spew them out of my mouth. I worry that you are cold or hot. In other words, get on one side of the fence or the other. That's all Elijah was saying. But notice what happened in verse number 21. The people answered him not a word. They couldn't give him an answer. They didn't know where they were in their walk with God, Jehovah. They didn't know where they were in their faith. They didn't know what was going on really in their life. And from a spiritual perspective, I believe they were just all messed up. They didn't know what to say. We don't know whether we want to live in the world. We don't know whether we want to live for God. Elijah said then to the people in verse 22, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. In other words, the odds were against him from a human perspective. Hey, folks, that ain't much different than today. I hate to say it, but I believe the odds are really against us as Bible-believing Christians today. But as old Bob Jones Sr. said, when I have God on my side, me and God make a majority. And God is on our side, amen? He's still the God of the Bible. And I hate to say this to a lost and dying world, but I've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. Amen? We're on the winning side. Not like the Canadian juniors. Boy, am I eating crow over that down there, let me tell you. I mean, I thank God I don't bite the hand that feeds me, but I'll tell you what, when it comes to hockey, the old Maple Leaf is on this shirt all the time. Amen? That's the way it's going to stay, and I'm going to deal with that. Please don't lose in the Olympics, please. That's my next best hope. But anyway, how did I get off on that? Make a majority. If you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, God is with you. And he is on our side. And we are on the winning side. We know that our Redeemer liveth. And thank God for the hope we have. Elijah said it may look like the odds are against us, but God was on his side. And you know the rest of the story. Go over to verse number 37. Elijah begins, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it," now think back to what they said in verse 21, "they answered him not a word." We don't know what to say to you, Elijah. We don't know whether we're on God's side or the world's side. We just really don't know. But when the power of God was displayed through this prophet Elijah, then the people, when they saw it, they fell on their face in verse 39, and they said, now here they answered, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Aren't we a people of sight? Boy, once they saw the power of Almighty God, once they saw Jehovah God work, then they said, oh, okay, we're on God's side. He is the one and only true Lord. Now let me say to you folks, in some respects from a human perspective, I don't blame the people. I believe today it's sad to say that the unsaved world, they're not seeing much happening with Christians today. They're not seeing much fire fall from heaven. And so when they look at it and they say, well, you know, I don't know whether I'm really going to believe what you're saying. You say you have a powerful God, but I don't see much happening. You say that, man, God is alive and he's well, but I'll tell you what, I don't see it in your life a whole lot. I don't see it in the church much today. I don't see it from the Christian society. Folks, I'm just saying today, maybe we got to get back on our knees and we got to pray for some fire to fall again. Maybe we got to get going again for the Lord and send forth the trumpet and sound forth the trumpet and let them know there is a God and there is fire from heaven. And what we preach and what we believe really is true. I just throw that out to say maybe that's the problem in our society today. Maybe the church and the Christian, maybe we're just not showing much of what God can do. Once they saw it, they said, oh, wow. All right, Elijah, we're with you. We see there is one true God, one Lord, and he is the true God. So here we see the prophet Elijah with powerful, positive thinking here saying, you know what? There is a God that controls the physical realm. There is a God that controls the eternal realm. There is a God that controls even the spiritual realm. I thank God in Canada and the United States, there is the freedom to worship. the freedom of religion. I thank God for that. I never want that ever to be taken away. Sometimes people have said to me, oh, I get so agitated when a certain religious group knocks on my door and try. I said, don't ever get agitated with that. Thank God they can do that. Because if they start to take that away from them, one day we may not be able to knock on a door. You see, so we thank the Lord for that, but folks, in that sense of freedom, let's still remember there's only one true God, and it's God Jehovah. It's the God of the Bible. There still is only one true Savior, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so understanding we thank God for our freedoms, we better always remember this. We still have the true gospel message, and it's up to us to get it out there. It's our responsibility. That's what Elijah did. He proved there was only one true God. And so he shows this to the people. He's a powerful man. Listen to what he did. He fed a widow woman, her son, and himself with one little cake and a little bit of cruse of oil. He showed the power of God over the physical realm. Elijah raised the dead. That's a powerful thing. God used him, but it was through Elijah. And then God used Elijah to call down fire from heaven, showing his power over the spiritual realm, and there's only one true God. These are some powerful things that this man did. But my question and my thought as I read those things was, what gave Elijah that type of power? What made him so special? You say, oh, he was a chosen prophet, a chosen vessel of God, and he was. But I want to remind you, folks, he was just a man, just of human flesh like you and me. We're going to see that in just a little minute at the end of this message. He was just an old sinner saved by grace like you and me. But what was it that gave Elijah this positive power? Let's go back to the verse we read at the beginning, chapter number 18 and verse 36. I want you to notice that Elijah said this. As he gathered for the offering of the evening sacrifice, he said this, let it be known this day. Can't do anything about yesterday. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But this day, let it be known, number one, notice with me this. He said, thou art God in Israel. What gave Elijah the power over the eternal realm, over the physical realm, over the spiritual realm from a human perspective, understanding it was God that did it all? But what gave him this type of power, Christian? What is it today that can set us apart from the average Christian? I don't know about you, I go through valleys and trials and ups and downs in my life, and man, there's times, man, I'm on fire for God, and I feel like I'm on the mountaintop, and man, I want to win the lost, I want to preach, I want to do the work of the ministry, I'm pumped up about it, I'm excited about it, boy, just, you want to go, and then there's other times I'm just, oh, man, I'm honest with you today, sometimes that happens, sometimes you just, oh, I don't know whether I want to do this today. I'm tired of trying to push I'm sure we all go through those times. But what is it that gets us a little above the average, that pushes a little above the norm for Christianity? I believe that's what Elijah told us in this verse. Number one, we've got to take on this attitude. He was filled with a consuming passion for the glory of God. He said this, he said, let it be known this day, thou art God in Israel. Folks, he was filled with a passion, a consuming passion for the glory of God. He wanted his people to understand this principle, there is no other God, there is only one true God. One of the ladies of the church here, they found out my dad had passed away, sent me an email. And of all the emails I got, and I got a lot from different preachers and pastors and people, just this one little quote spoke to me more than anybody else. It said, heaven just got a little sweeter. Heaven just got a little sweeter. As soon as I read that, I remembered an old gospel song that I heard a long time ago. It said, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. You know what, folks? We've got to put this whole life thing into perspective. Dad lived a good 81 years, and I thank God for that, but if you ask me today, did it go quick? You better believe it did. It's gone quick. Even though 81 years is a good full life, really, in this day and age, I always sort of say to him, man, if you can make it to 70, 75 in this day and age, with all the disease and sicknesses and illness, that's almost a blessing. But boy, it went quick. It went quick. We've got to bring into perspective, folks, this, and I think Elijah want to understand this. Folks, life is short. It's a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. We've got to be consumed with God. We've got to have passion. We've got to be consumed with a passion for God's glory today, this day. And when we wake up tomorrow morning, again on Monday, and we wake up on Tuesday, again on Tuesday, and again on Wednesday. I understand we've got to live our life. We've got to work our jobs. We've got to pay our bills. We can enjoy our sports and activities and families. That's all a part of it. But ultimately, we better understand this. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Everything else is left behind. My dad didn't take one thing with him. There's no such thing, folks, as a U-Haul behind a hearse. Doesn't happen. So we got to be consumed not with this world and the things of this world and the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. Rather, we've got to be consumed for God and His glory and what really counts. Because one day we're going to stand before our Lord and Savior. And my challenge to you today is we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He was filled with, he said, let it be known. There's only one God in Israel. And it's God Jehovah. And by the way, folks, that still preaches today. It's only one true God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number two, notice this. He was convinced that he was only a servant. He said, thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. What a humble attitude from a positive preaching prophet. He could have walked around and said, look what I've done. And I just went over there and fed a widow woman and her son. She only had a little bit of meal left. Wow, I'm pretty good. And a little later, I just went over and raised a dead man. Brought him back to life. Look what I've accomplished. And then a little later, he said, look at me. I'm such a powerful prophet, I called down fire from heaven. Everybody should take note of old Elijah. What a guy. No. He went before his people and said, I want you to understand there's only one God, and I am his servant. He had his life in order, amen? He had the right perspective. He understood that everything he was and everything he could be was only because Jesus Christ, our God Jehovah, worked in him and through him. And it all came because he had a servant's heart. He said, I am thy servant. He wasn't the servant of somebody else. He wasn't the servant of a company. He wasn't the servant of a sport. He wasn't the servant of anybody or anything else. He was a servant of God Jehovah. Folks, I wonder today if that's our attitude. Are you his servant today? Are you his servant? It's an old chorus that says, make me a servant. What a great, great course. Because you know what? Really, I found in life to become a servant, it does take God's making, His molding, His shaping. Because that goes against our natural inclinations of the human flesh. By nature, we don't want to serve. By nature, we don't want to commit to somebody or something or give in. But Elijah says, if you want to be used of God, if you want to be that type of person God wants you to be, you've got to consider yourself a servant. Finally, he says this. He was desirous to know and work out God's plan. Notice the verse again. He said, thou art God in Israel, I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. You know, Elijah was desirous to know and to work out God's plan. He wasn't scheming. He wasn't to try to do it his way. He wasn't trying to backdoor God. He wasn't trying to accomplish everything the way he thought and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to accomplish it and scheme and connive around God. Rather, he just said, Lord, I just want to do everything at thy word. Lord, show me thy will. Show me thy way. In the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work of the church. Folks, I want to remind you today, this is his church. It's not my church. It's not your church. I know we say, well, I go to Bethel Baptist Church and or I go to this church and my church isn't. I understand what we're saying here, but let's always remember this is his church. And if we want God's blessing and the best, we must remember we must do God's work God's way. And God's way can be different, I believe, in local churches, in different areas, in different regions, and so on. But we've always got to remember Jesus Christ built the church, He bled for the church, and He died for the church. This is His church. We got to do it God's way. If you're saved today, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And Jesus Christ says today, if you want my best, do it my way. Let me work through you and in you. And let me have my way in your life. And when we do that, God can begin to work and do some incredible things through us like He did in Elijah. You say, well, man, preacher, you mean I'm going to be able to raise the dead? Probably not. Am I going to call down fire from heaven? Not literally. Am I going to be able to feed people? Well, I don't know in the sense of a miracle type thing like that, but I'm going to tell you what, we can have all these principles in our life for the glory of God. I say to you today, what made Elijah such a great, positive, powerful preaching prophet? I believe, number one, he was filled with a passion for the glory of God. Number two, he understood that he was just a servant. And number three, he was desirous to know and to work out God's plan. You say, man, this guy walked on water. I can never come to be like that. Folks, flip over just for a minute to chapter 19. After all of this was accomplished, I just want you to show you that Elijah's just a human man like you and me. He finds out in verse number 1 that Ahab and Jezebel are after him. Especially old Jezebel. Nothing like a woman on fire. Now, this woman was possessed of the devil. But holy smokes, you don't want to run into a fierce, angry woman. And that's what he sensed. Look at verse number 2. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. Let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. He says, I'm coming after you. And I'm going to do what you did to others. And old Elijah, guess what? Got a little scared. He got a little fearful. And look what happened in verse number 3 when he saw that. Now, for whatever reason, he took his eyes off God Jehovah for just a little bit and he started to focus in on Jezebel and the circumstances. He arose and he went for his life. Look at verse 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under the juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. Is that not incredible? Here's the guy just a couple of chapters earlier that raised the dead, called down fire from heaven, fed a widow and her son, did incredible miracles for God. And he goes before the people. He says, I want you to know I'm filled with a passion for God. I'm a servant of the Lord. I want the glory of God. Man, you would have thought this guy was walking on water. And then here in chapter 19, he's running into the desert. He's sitting under a tree pouting. He says, I've had it. I want to die. I've had enough. Aren't you glad in some respects God always shows us the humanity of men? Elijah was just like us, folks. How about you? There's sometimes I've sat under the juniper tree and whined and cried. Matter of fact, there's quite a few times I've done that and still do it. You know, the point where you go, huh, I don't know if I could take this anymore. Is it worth it? I just believe sometimes God allows these things to show us that a man at his best is still just a man. But God can get a hold of a man. And God can get a hold of a Christian. He can use us in great and mighty ways. If you read the rest of chapter 19, you'll see that Elijah came through. And God loved him. He fed him. Let him have a little rest. And then finally, you know what he said to him? He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Get up and do what I told you to do. But it shows the humanity. Elijah was a man just like us. But yet he was a powerful guy. Powerful prophet that preached a positive message. How did it all happen? How did all of these things take place? He was filled with a passion for God. He was a servant. And he was desirous to know and work out God's plan. Folks, that's not always easy to do. It's easy to preach. It's easy to see these points, but man, that's a tough thing to live. But I do believe we can do it. And if you do, God's going to use us in great and mighty ways. If we do it as churches, God's going to bless our churches. And we're going to see fire fall from heaven. But I want to remind you of this. Church is not the building. It's you and me. We make up the church. It's up to us for our Christian walk and for our church's sake to be Elijah's. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for your word. And thank you for this wonderful message of this preaching prophet. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us to have these qualities. Again, they're easy to read, they're easy to preach. But Lord, to truly live them is to fight the good fight. It's to give our all and do our best for the cause of Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today and you're saved and you thank God for that. But maybe you'd say today, you know what? Preacher, I have to admit today, I haven't really seen a growing, maturing Christian walk. I haven't seen God really use me. It might be days, it might be months. Sad to say, for some of us today, it might be years. But folks, let me ask you, do you have these three qualities that Elijah mentioned? Are you consumed with a passion for God? Or have other things become your passion in this life? Are you still a servant? Have you got a servant's heart? Or have you rather become the master? And if you have, in all honesty, Christian, you've got things out of place. God loves you today. He saved you. He wants the best for you. But we've got to bring some of these qualities back into our life. You say, preacher, God has spoke to me today. Whatever the quality is, whatever point it might have been, that's between you and the Lord. But you'd say, you know what? I need some of this. I need to get that passion. I need to be that servant again. I need to have that desire. With God's help, that's what I want for my life, for my own walk, for my family, and for this church. Preacher, pray for me today. Would you raise your hand around the auditorium real quick? Just put it up and then take it right back down. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. God bless you. Many hands. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I can't do any of that because I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Friend, I want you to know Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross and shed his blood that you might be saved and have the gift of eternal life. Today, God can give you that gift if you'll acknowledge and show your need of a Savior. Today, I'm not saved, but I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand real quick around the auditorium? Would there be any? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned. Please pray for me.